The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today.
USC is back on the political agenda, it seems. Fine Gael talking of scrapping it. Is it likely to happen, though? But Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, should we be taking any claims that Fine Gael is looking at the abolition of the USC seriously, given that it campaigned in the general election of 2016 on the basis of scrapping it? But 1 year ago, in this very studio, Pascal Donoghue told me that that was an emergency measure brought in that was never actually going to be removed. He committed himself to maintaining the USC.
See, the Mandarins in the Department of Finance love the USC because it hoovers up a huge amount of tax every year, and it doesn't have a lot of the opt-outs and caveats that the normal or the normal income tax does. So it hoovers up a huge, even from kind of relatively low income earners to very high income earners. It just it was a great savior, as they would see it, from that austerity era. Whether it was fully committed to that it was a temporary tax, the impression was certainly given by the then government that this was an emergency measure and would be done away with
when the emergency is over. What do we see today about projected surpluses for the next 4 years?
So the government is now projecting a budget surplus of 8.6 billion this year and a cumulative budget surplus of 38 billion over the next 4 years, basically all off the back of windfall corporation taxes.
But if we're getting those corporate windfall taxes, why not then reduce the amount that is charged to the ordinary citizens in income tax by way of the USC?
The argument is that removing the USC is a permanent change, and these are windfall taxes, therefore they're unreliable, you can't count on them. Now, 10 years into a series of windfall taxes, that argument is getting a bit kind of difficult and thin, to say the least. There is some legitimacy, there is a volatility within the corporation tax take, however, there is some legitimacy and quite a lot of legitimacy, and something we've written a lot about in the Business Post of the last year or so since I've become editor is it fair, equitable, to keep that surcharge on your income tax for low to middle and even higher income earners, at a time when we're running such high budget surpluses?
Professor of Economics at DCU Business School, Edgar Morgenroth, is with us as well. Would it be possible financially, economically, to get rid of this tax over the next 5 years, Edgar?
Good afternoon, Matt. It of course, is always possible. The question is, what's the right thing to do? And as Daniel was saying, USC has the advantage from an exchequer perspective of pulling some people into the tax net that are not in the standard income tax net, and so it sort of is in a way broadens what we call the tax base. And it's important to remember that income tax in Ireland is actually one of these really, really large sources of taxes, much more so than in many other countries. It's about 38% of our tax take comes from income tax. That's a lot lower in many other countries. And we also know that essentially at the average wage or average income, you get pulled into the higher rate of income tax, which again is somewhat unusual. So, from a politician's perspective, it's probably natural to think that they want to reduce the burden of income taxation. Whether you do that with the standard income tax system or whether you do that by removing the USC is a different question.
But sorry, Edgar, and the point that Danny made about the fact that the Mandarins tell us, well, we can't depend on the corporation tax surplus remaining, and yet they are talking about 38 billion euro surplus over the next 4 years on the overall budget. Would it not in that case make an awful lot of sense to look to, if you're talking about broadening the tax base, doing something like saying replacing the USC or part of the income from the USC with something like a property tax, which is what they do in other countries, which is a wealth tax in a sense, and it means that rather than coming off people's income, which applies to everybody, it would only come off those who are wealthier who actually own their own properties.
That's right, and again, that's what other countries do. There are some other tax headings which are also actually getting less and less important. Motor tax, for example, is dropping. Customs is doing very little, so as a share is dropping. One thing I would say, though, in terms of the corporation tax receipts, You know, I think it's a fair point that this sort of windfall argument is a difficult one to make when the windfalls just keep on going. There is, though, the so-called BEPS project in the OECD, where they're trying to shift where corporation tax is paid and how much. So we're already committed to a minimum rate of 15% on large companies, and that should wash in a little bit extra money. On the other hand, where some of that gets taxed is supposed to change as well, and some of what we are now getting in corporation tax will end up going to Germany and countries like that. So there's probably good reason to think that our corporation tax receipts will shrink a bit, at least as a share. And so fully relying on it, I don't know if that's a good idea, but broadening the tax base, looking at other kinds of taxes, I think is generally a good idea.
So Daniel McConnell, how is Simon Harris going to differ from Leo Varadkar when it comes to a tax policy? Because Leo Varadkar spoke about a 30% tax rate, which Pascal Donoghue dissed, and yet reports in the last few days are suggesting that Simon Harris is interested in that, as well as having a tax group within Fine Gael to remove the USC within 5 years. Is he going to be similar to Leo Varadkar in raising the potential of tax, income tax cuts, and then not delivering upon them?
I think the background to this is quite interesting. The soundings coming from Simon Harris's camp to me and others in recent days is that there's a feeling that tax policy under Leo Varadkar had become somewhat incoherent, was the phrase given to me. You know, the solo run of the 30% taxes, which you said, which was shot down almost immediately by their own Pascal Donoghue, who was in the Department of Finance at the time. You had three Fine Gael ministers coming out, clearly with the imprimatur of their leader last year, you know, demanding tax cuts, much to the much annoyance of Michael McGrath, who had just gone in as finance minister at that time. So the idea of establishing this working group or this high-level group within Fine Gael, led by Pascal Donoghue, Peter Burke will also be involved as well, and Neil Richmond, is the idea to almost get a business focus, but also kind of a pro, you know, to deliver this, I suppose, semblance of coherence that essentially will form the basis of Fine Gael's manifesto for the next general election. It's not going to be a one-year tax plan or a two-year, it'll be a five-year plan. And I think what they would want to do is set out a path to abolishing the USC or certainly nullifying it to a great degree. Because I think you've made this point previously, Matt, as what I wholeheartedly agree with. You know, tinkering around the edges on tax will get you nowhere in terms of an electoral bump. The people will want to see a big, you know, a big bonanza type approach to it. And, you know, going out and saying, listen, we will abolish the USC over 5 years, whatever that is sort of...
But have they not missed the boat, given that they've been in power since 2011, that they've had plenty of opportunities to reduce it far more aggressively than has been done, if not abolish it? Will people believe their promises on the basis, well, what have you done over the last 13 years?
It's very difficult, I think, for Fine Gael to articulate the change narrative, even with the new Taoiseach, given how long they've been in office. Simon Harris has really got 6 months to 9 months to really kind of set out his stall, i.e. one budget to really kind of stop the bleed away from Fine Gael, because they're on the course to get a hiding at the next general election, given they've been in power for so long. They had a bad election in 2020, they had a bad election in 2016. They're a long way off the 76 seats they had in 2011. So Simon Harris's job is containment rather than one of progression.
One just final one. What's Sinn Féin's position on the USC?
It depends on what day of the week it is, Matt. One day they're for it, next day they're against it. But at the moment, they're not talking about abolishing it. They're certainly talking about tinkering around it. But Piers Doherty has in recent times reiterated his intention for a wealth tax, you know, to kind of... Now, it's no longer salaries over 100,000 where he had previously pitched it. It's now salaries over 140,000 and to be tapering...
And actually, just Edgar Morgenroth on you. Should wealth be regarded as income or should it be regarded as assets when it comes to taxation?
It's a very interesting question. A number of politicians have called for wealth taxes over the last number of years, and each time when you challenge as to what wealth you want to tax, they start excluding most things and you almost end up with income. And there's really no point in introducing another income tax if we already have an income tax. So wealth, that should normally include something like housing wealth. But that's usually the first thing that politicians want to exclude.
Even those who are on the left wing. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. Edgar Morgenroth, Professor of Economics at DCU Business School. Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post. Thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.